From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Seekers, Finders. The text is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. We need our God. He is to be had for the seeking, and he will not deny himself to any one of us if we personally seek his face. It is not if thou deserve him or purchase his favor, but merely if thou seek him. Those who already know the Lord must go on seeking His face by prayer, by diligent service, and by holy gratitude. To such He will not refuse His favor and fellowship. Those who, as yet, have not known Him to their soul's rest should at once commence seeking, and never cease till they find Him as their Savior, their friend, their Father, and their God. What strong assurance this promise gives to the seeker! He that seeketh findeth. You, yes, you, if you seek your God, shall find him. When you find him, you have found life, pardon, sanctification, preservation, and glory. Will you not seek and seek on, since you shall not seek in vain? Dear friend, seek the Lord at once. Here is the place, and now is the time. Bend that stiff knee, yes, bend that stiffer neck, and cry out for God, for the living God. In the name of Jesus, seek cleansing and justification. You shall not be refused. Here is David's testimony to his son Solomon, and it is the writer's personal witness to the reader. Believe it, and act upon it, for Christ's sake.
Jesus, Son of God, in truth must be.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship. This small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. As Dr. Cairns proceeds with this study in the book of Romans, he continues to deal with the subject of God's righteousness, the standard by which every soul will be measured, without which there is no salvation. The text is chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. In the first 2.5 chapters of Romans, the Apostle Paul has declared God's indictment against the entire human race for its sin. Dr. Cairns called verse 21 of chapter 3 the hinge of history. With the words, "But now," Paul began to explain how God can justify sinners and remain true to His righteous character. The answer is found in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, on whom the just wrath of God fell as He hung on the cross as the substitute for guilty sinners. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will set forth the elements of the gospel of saving grace.
Continuing in our studies in Romans, we return to chapter 3, reading the final section of the chapter, verses 21 to 31. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to this reading from His precious word for His name's sake. As I read this, this is, as is true throughout the book of Romans, and I think that I have done enough to demonstrate it. I think this is the 35th study in Romans. So, throughout the book of Romans, you could stop at almost every line, see the argument generally, and then just see how every line works into it. I was thinking, as you get to the end, we establish the law. Faith establishes the law. And I thought, now I would like to have time to preach on the gospel answer to antinomianism. Then I looked a little further up, and it speaks of the law of faith. The law of faith. I've never in my life heard a sermon on the law of faith. But there is such a law. And I thought, now that would be good. I'd like to have time to do that. And then I got back to reality and realized somebody else at another place, another time, may do all those things, but not this preacher at this time. We're going to look tonight rather generally, first at this passage of Scripture, and then I want to start, if time permits, to go down some of the main truths that expound the doctrine of the Apostle here. These verses are really the gospel according to Paul in a nutshell. Now, I must confess, it's a pretty big nut, and it may be bigger than a coconut. It's certainly not a peanut. And as you read it, the shell may seem a little hard to crack, but I hope we'll be able to do that to somebody's satisfaction tonight. The gospel in a nutshell, according to Paul. In these verses, the apostle sets forth his major explanation of the basic theme of this epistle. You remember way back in chapter 1, verse 17, we saw the great statement of Paul's theme. And he says, therein, that is in the gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God. That's the great theme. The righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Or as I pointed out at the time, the just by faith. And if you hyphenate that little phrase, you'll get, I believe, the force of the apostle's idea. The just by faith shall live. That's his theme. Here in this passage of Scripture, he is expounding that theme in some detail. When he's finished with chapter 3 and chapter 4, he will go on to illustrate that theme. in chapter 5, he will then expand something further and get into some very deep theology and how it brings assurance to the believer's heart as he expands upon the doctrine that here he's expounding. And then in chapter 6, and indeed right throughout the rest of the epistle, what he does, he starts arguing from this theme in all different directions and making applications to various areas of life as he deals with criticisms and shows the implications of all his doctrine. So this portion that we have read tonight is a vital part of Paul's Roman epistle. It's also, as I said this morning, a vital part of Scripture. This is one of those keynote passages in all the Word of God. I would strongly recommend that you learn this passage and learn it well. Martin Luther exhorted people to learn by heart the entire book of Romans. I'm not going to exhort you to do that, because I personally don't have the brains to do that, and I don't have the short or long-term memory to do that. I wish I did. But I would say to you, this is certainly a passage to learn, and learn well. And not only learn the words, but learn how the apostle thinks. Learn how he develops his thought. Learn what he's saying, why he's saying it, and all that's implied in the saying of it. This is a vital passage of Scripture. We've already looked at verse 21, not to divorce it from the rest of the section, but just because of its great importance. Verse 21 starts with the two words, "But now." I called that verse the hinge of its history. With God, there's always a before and after. That's not only true of history generally, before Christ and after Christ, though that is the clearest division of history. But it's true in the whole revelation of the Word of God. It's true in a person's individual life and experience. There's always a before Christ and an after. This is the hinge of history. We took time to look at the time of the gospel revelation. But now, we looked at the theme of the gospel revelation. It is the righteousness of God without the law. And then we looked at the testimony to the gospel revelation. This righteousness apart from the law is yet witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now this is the gospel, according to Paul, that he is now proceeding to expound in all its glorious fullness. I think before we get into it, what I should do, and may help you, on the other hand it may befuddle you, I'm not quite sure. I realize everybody doesn't think the way I think, and so what's clear to me may not be as clear to somebody else. But I think it would be a good idea to get a general outline of the train of Paul's thought. Now, I know that all Scripture is inspired, but there are certain parts of Scripture that I can follow much more easily than others. It's not to say I understand everything in them. The book of Romans is my favorite book for that very reason. There is a very logical outline. You can see where Paul is going, what he's doing to get there. You know where he starts from and where he's reached. And when he gets there, you know it. This is one of those books where the outline of Paul's thought is very discernible. And to me, it's always a fascinating thing just to follow the inspired logic of the great apostle. You take the passage we have read tonight, you may summarize it under two main headings. It falls into two parts, verses 21 to 26, and then, since 26 is a sort of a pivotal verse, from 26 to 31. In the first section, Paul is dealing with the revelation of justifying righteousness. The righteousness of God revealed. And then in the latter part, he's dealing with the results of the revelation of justifying righteousness. Righteousness revealed, and then the results of such a revelation. When you start in verse 21, just see how he piles one thing on top of another. This righteousness is divinely provided. It's a beautiful statement. We may have time to deal with it a little further later. But it's divinely provided. Remember what I said when we last looked at Romans 3:21? It's one thing to say we believe that God has provided a righteousness for us. But understand what that is. What is righteousness? Righteousness, strictly speaking, is not a definition or a description of personal character. Certainly not in this section in Romans. Righteousness is a word that describes conformity to the standard of the law of God. That's righteousness. Now I put that in. A righteousness divinely provided. This is the glory of the gospel. That there is a conformity to divine law by a divine work. And it's given freely to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's divinely provided. It's provided for us without any work of any description on our behalf or on our part. It's received by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Verse 22, it is revealed to all, but it is effective only in believers. 22 and 23, it is the same for all, both Jews and Gentiles. For all, both Jews and Gentiles, are sinners. Verse 24, it is conferred by grace, and it's conferred by gift. Grace provides it, and it's given to us as of God. And then in verses 24 and 25, some of the deepest and yet the most glorious words in the whole canon of Scripture. It stands on the basis. Now let's understand what I'm saying. This righteousness with which God invests believers, this righteousness which lets them stand in the presence of God, that lets them appear at the judgment bar and be welcomed into heaven, equal as heirs of God with Jesus Christ. This righteousness stands on the basis of the satisfaction of God's justice by the sacrifice of Christ, a redeeming sacrifice, that's its effect toward you and me, a propitiatory sacrifice, that's its effect upon God. It propitiates God. That's a very big word we may get time to look at in a week or two's time. So that's what it's all about. This is Paul saying, I'm here to talk about this righteousness revealed. Now, this gospel has results. Verses 26 to 31. First result is, verse 26, very clearly, it declares the excellence of Christ. Let me make this clear. Any professed gospel that does not send people out convinced of the excellence of Christ is a false gospel. The very first thing the gospel does, it declares the excellence of Christ. Verse 26, the second part, it demonstrates the justice of God. Verse 27 and 28, it excludes all boasting on our part. There's no ground for boasting. If you're saved, we ask what Paul asked the Corinthians, what have you that you didn't receive? What did you ever do to get what you've now got? What did you ever do to merit it? Why would you not be in hell, along with Nebuchadnezzar on the one hand, and Hitler on the other? Why would you not already be in hell? What have you ever done that would merit anything else but hell? Not a thing.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.